Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Rick Hopfer to the broadcast. Rick is the Chief Information Officer of Molina Healthcare, a $14 billion healthcare company providing health services to financially vulnerable families and individuals covered primarily by government programs. In his role as CIO, Rick is responsible for all technology and security at the company. Prior to Molina, Rick worked for Sony Pictures Entertainment, where he served as CIO for 4 years and as Senior Vice President of Information Technology prior to that. Prior to Sony, he served as CIO for Homestore.com and then as Chief Technology Officer for Homestore International. Rick also has held senior IT leadership positions at Simon & Schuster, Bankers Trust Company, and Aetna Life and Casualty, among others. Rick has a bachelor's degree in computer information systems from Arizona State University. I recently caught up with Rick by phone in his office in Los Angeles, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 2, infrastructure, as we discussed the evolution of Molina Healthcare's infrastructure, Principle 3, project and portfolio management, as we discussed strategic planning for dramatic growth, and Principle 5, as we discussed what work is appropriate for onshore and offshore efforts. We also spoke about themes that are universal and prevalent in IT across industries, the importance of collaborating with the rest of the enterprise to learn domain knowledge, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Rick Hopfer, welcome to the Forum on World Class IT.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So I thought we'd begin with your company and your role in the company. You are the Chief Information Officer of Molina Healthcare, and I wonder if you could take a moment to describe the business and your role in it.
Sure. So first off, Molina Healthcare is a 35-year-old Fortune 500 company based out of Long Beach, California. Our mission is to provide quality health services to financially vulnerable families and individuals covered primarily by government programs. We have health plans, medical clinics, health information management solution, and a presence in over 30 states, serving about 4.2 million members. So there's no other company that has that kind of a footprint and does all three of those. My responsibility at Molina is the Chief Information Officer, responsible for all technology and security here at the company.
And I wonder if you could take a moment to talk a bit about your strategic priorities as you look ahead.
Sure. Molina is actually a very rapidly growing company. 5 years ago, we weren't on the Fortune 500 list. Today, we're number, I believe, 200 and maybe one. But we have grown extremely rapidly, and it's primarily a result of the Affordable Care Act. So my strategic priorities over the last 5.5 years that I've been here are how do we support Molina's rapidly growth effectively, efficiently, and securely through the use of technology? And it's been a fun challenge over the last few years to support that kind of growth.
Per that point, it's dramatic how fast the company has grown, as you pointed out. And although, of course, it's an enviable, quote-unquote, problem to have as CIO, nevertheless, that does add a lot of complexity. The IT that you run today to support the company as it stands today, if the growth were to continue anyway, is very different from where it's likely to be in a year or two or three, at least if the past performance is any indication of the possible changes ahead. How do you plan for such a dramatic change across time?
Well, again, I joined the company 5.5 years ago, and looking at what that projected growth might have been, this was before the Affordable Care Act had even been passed. But we needed to make sure we were prepared for that kind of growth. And like you said, we're going to continue to grow. But what we did starting in 2011 is we put together a three-year planning process that looked at what investments do we need to make in our people and our processes and our technologies. So 3 years ago, again, we were much smaller as a company. We put together a plan we called MIT Reform 2014 or Molina IT Reform 2014. And the whole 2014 was really tied to the Affordable Care Act. What did we need to do to get prepared? We've made significant investments since that point in time. And in 2015, last year, we put together our next three-year view, which was our biz ops, or we called Stabilize, Optimize, and Innovate, which is really now focused on business outcomes. So for us, it's constantly looking at what do we need to do? What are the competencies we need to have as an organization to make sure we can support the kind of growth that our business is frankly going through? Again, we do take a very strategic look at the things that we need to get through and the investments we need to make there.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering, even from an infrastructure perspective, have you mirrored some of the digital native companies in making a transition to the cloud and having a much more flexible infrastructure than perhaps some of your peer organizations of comparable size?
Yeah, first off, coming into this industry, I had a lot to learn. I had a group of executives that I partnered with, and even then they said that the healthcare industry is changing so much, even those that have been in it most of their careers weren't exactly sure how it was going to shape up. So they were really helpful in helping me understand what did we need to do to be prepared for all of this growth. And from an innovation perspective, partnered with that. I wouldn't say that we are an aggressive adopter of technology, but I do think we're on the forefront of where we need to be as a company. We're certainly looking at those companies that are disrupting industries like an Uber might. And in healthcare, there may be some companies coming up that we'd want to keep an eye on. But that said, we still wanted to make sure we leveraged the kinds of infrastructures that we would need. For example, whether it's converged infrastructure and now flash storage, what are those things we needed to do internally to create our own private cloud initially, and then look at how we can leverage public cloud? Because we're in insurance, and the industry in general, I think, has been very conservative into how we put information out into a public cloud because of PHI and other security measures that, obviously it's been in the news over the last few years with the kinds of breaches. That said, we do have a good plan and strategy and policies in place that allow us now to take a look at leveraging software as a service in the cloud or leveraging cloud apps. So we are moving towards those more aggressive or more disruptive technologies that other industries have jumped on, and looking to see how do we introduce those in a way that we can still securely manage the information that we have, but take advantage of those things from an agility or a cost-effective nature. So we've really balanced those plans, I think, very well.
I know you're also a big believer in smart shoring and leveraging that as a tool to drive innovation. As an example of that, you've set up an IT team in Albuquerque, as I understand it. Can you talk a bit about the rationale in smart shoring and the benefits that you've garnered from having done so?
Yeah. For starters, this is me personally talking. I'm not a big believer in the big outsourcing deals. I just don't think that the benefits that companies believe they're going to have by outsourcing their entire IT offshore are there. I think you need to strategic source, and I think you need to look smartly at what do you want to source and what do you want to keep internally. Because of the industry we're in healthcare, and because primarily our products are government programs, Medicare, Medicaid, we have a lot of requirements from the states about where we can be doing our work. So many of our health plans stipulate what can be done onshore or offshore. As a result of that, we do a lot more of our work onshore, although I do have some offshore partners where it makes sense. But we look at what are the things that we need to be doing in the states, and in some cases, specifically within states. You mentioned New Mexico. Now, New Mexico happens to be where we built our data center a few years ago. We selected New Mexico out of a number of locations, but one of those was because we have a health plan in New Mexico, and we do try to employ Molina employees in the states where we have a presence. Albuquerque, New Mexico was a good location for us to establish a data center. And as a result of having a data center there, looking at what kind of IT resources we can place there. But we also have IT resources in various positions, whether they be business relation management functions, help desk, desktop support type functions. We do have people in all of the locations that we serve today. And, you know, for in our help desk, service desk is an example. We're in multiple states, and it's a virtual help desk, which can cover coast to coast and transfer those calls around as we need to. So that may be more of the smart sourcing that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of that within the United States and Puerto Rico.
Yeah. And you talk about innovation. I know that that's a role that IT gets involved in at Molina Healthcare. Can you talk a bit about how you think about IT's role in innovation, the collaboration that it requires across the enterprise, whether or not there are specific people on your team that are tasked with that versus having it be a part-time duty for multiple folks and so forth?
Sure. Let's start with Molina and innovation. Molina's been a very innovative company over the 35 years it's been in existence. And not necessarily always as a technology innovator, but as an innovator around business models, around the kinds of benefits and the way they serve our members. So they've been very innovative, but they've also looked at how do we leverage technology where we can. As a company, Molina has a research and innovation group that's headed up by Dr. Martha Bernadette, who happens to be a Molina sibling. She's a strong partner for IT. And what her R&I, Research and Innovation Group, does is they are looking at the kinds of business models and where technology can be applied to help there. So in partnership with that group, we look at things like mobility or telehealth initiatives, new ways of leveraging the technology that can provide better care for our members. So on a macro level, we have a very good business partner and sponsor around technology innovation. Within the IT organization itself, I have an emerging technology group, which is sort of the engineering or technology arm of the R&I group. And so in partnership, we look at either developing or partnering externally on pilots that we may want to do a proof of concepts before bringing them in. Another way I do look at innovation, though, is that innovation is really all of our jobs. And a few years ago within the IT organization, we came up with an incubation program. And it's almost like having our own little VC company where the leadership of my organization, IT, we periodically, two or three times a year, we allow all of our employees to submit innovative ideas that they're looking for some funding for. And in funding, I say hours. Everything we do in IT, we track our hours. We take a certain amount of hours every year and say, we're going to fund initiatives almost like a VC company. We have the ideas submitted. They get voted on. Then there's presentations for the top initiatives that are selected. And then for those, we decide if we're going to invest in them. When we do, we look at what is it that they're trying to accomplish, and then they come back and show us what they've built, what the benefits are, what the ROI is. And many of those have led to projects that we've then gone to our business and submitted as innovative ways that IT can help them drive their business. So we're on round three of our incubation program, and it's been a very successful way for our IT employees to be innovative and get funding to go off and prove concepts, prove technology platforms, or process changes that are going to benefit the company.
You mentioned at the outset, Rick, that one of your responsibilities is also security. I've spoken before about how one of the challenges that many modern CIOs have is balancing the need to innovate, actually having as part of their purview innovation, as clearly you do, which is about risk taking, while also having security, which is about risk mitigation, as also part of their responsibilities, and always kind of holding those two in the balance. I wonder how you think about that balance, how your team manages this so that you don't have too much of a governor on those risks that are necessary in order to innovate while also not going too far such that you could put the organization at risk.
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, I didn't have a lot of healthcare background before here. I've been in finance, I've been in retail, I've been in publishing. Prior to coming here, I was at Sony Pictures Entertainment. So I've had a lot of different industry background prior to coming here. Security in finance or investment banking is probably most similar to security in healthcare. When I first joined, the company had taken a very conservative approach towards privacy and the use of technology. and it was really locked down. As an employee, you couldn't access anything outside of what we had internally on the network. And looking at how our workforce is changing and the industries are changing, early on I started working with the CISO who works for me, legal, security, privacy, to see how do we come up with ways that will allow us to be a little more flexible with our employees, but also make sure we're still having that protection. Simple things we did 5 years ago were things like bring your own device, where our employees then could leverage their own iPhones or Androids or even BlackBerry at the time. That was fairly progressive, and it took a bit of time in order to get that through. But since then, we've implemented technology like data loss protection, two-factor authentication. We've implemented technologies that allow us to be a little more open for our employees. We've got a lot of very good use cases where we want to leverage training that may be on YouTube, or we have social media where our marketing folks would like to have a presence. So we've looked at policies and putting in place. We've looked at technologies we can do to leverage those. But as a result of some of the larger breaches, whether they be the Anthems or the Sony Pictures, we have a board at our company, like many companies now, that is very interested in what our security posture is here. And we have a subcommittee of our board that meets twice a year to review both information technology and our security framework, our programs, our investments. And it's been very helpful now having visibility at that level to make sure that we are making the right investments on the security side, that we've got the right frameworks in place, that we've got the right people in place to provide as much protection as we can for our company. Again, allowing us to start leveraging software as a service or cloud where it makes sense. So again, it's a bit of a balancing act, but having that kind of visibility and support has allowed us to build a very good security group and program within the company.
Very interesting. You mentioned that you were new to healthcare a couple of times in the conversations. You were in financial services. You spent nearly 8 years at Sony Pictures prior to joining Molina Health more than 5 years ago. I'm wondering, now having had multiple stops across a variety of very significant industries, what sorts of universal principles have occurred to you that kind of cut across all of these industries versus those things that may be unique, one industry by industry or company by company, certainly?
Yeah, I think there are folks that have an advantage of spending an entire career as CIOs in a specific industry. And as a result of that, they've got extremely good knowledge about the business and the industries. Then there's other folks, other CIOs, which I happen to probably fall into that category, that have experience as a CIO, but in multiple industries. And I think having that kind of exposure prior to coming here and being in small internet startup companies and being in Fortune 500 companies and, again, in investment banking and publishing and entertainment, you know, I did start to see that, you know, each one of these IT groups had a lot of same characteristics. Everybody has to be able to do strategy and have some kind of governance program in place. IT spends a lot of money. We need to be fiscally responsible and have good fiscal management programs. HR, regardless of the industry, it's really about people. And how do you invest in people and provide career paths and partner with HR? You need to have a good service planning and architecture. So we've got enterprise architects and service management programs that, again, you could forklift across industries. Infrastructure and operations is very similar. Again, you have to add on the nuances around security and risk management that may be more industry specific, but a lot of the methods and the approaches and even the technologies are the same regardless. When you get to the application side, you need to be able to run good projects and manage portfolios and know how to either build or buy applications. And this is where I think it's very important to have business domain knowledge. And in this company here at Molina, I happen to have a very strong set of leaders and resources that have, frankly, I think they're experts in what they're doing in supporting our healthcare applications. Analytics, business intelligence, again, whether the industry you're in, you need to have a strong foundation around data architecture and data quality and data governance. And then finally, again, just making sure you know how to run and manage projects. So those characteristics are not unique to any industry. And as long as you know how to build an organization and mature it, and really what that does is help create an organization then that can partner with our business and ensure we're doing the best job we possibly can in delivering applications, whether we build or buy or go out and partner in the cloud, so that we have secure processes in place to allow us to do that. And coming into healthcare, I've had to learn healthcare. Certainly no expert, but I can now speak at parties much more fluently about the Affordable Care Act than I could prior to coming here.
As you were educating yourself, not only in the industry, but the specifics of something like that, how much of it is going off and reading the fine print that's produced by the government, for instance, versus collaborating with your colleagues who perhaps in some cases are those lifers in the healthcare industry, obviously predecessors to you even in the company? What's that balance? How have you thought about the processes and methods of getting yourself up to speed on some of these very complex issues?
Yeah, we have teams of people that read all of the government policies that are coming out of CMS and others. And frankly, I would not be serving the company well if I was one of those in that level of detail. So collaborating has been more effective. I happen to have a great set of peers on the business side who I enjoy working with. I mean, they're very smart, whether the CFO, COO, head of our marketing group, head of our operations group, head of our finance. I mean, all of the executives in this company have a lot of domain knowledge, but they've all been really good partners for IT at all levels. So whether it's myself working with that team or with my reports or those folks under, we're very aligned to the business. We have good business partnerships. I think we're valued in what we can contribute and what we offer to the company. And I think we have a lot of credibility as far as doing that. And that's really collaborating. It's not the CIO makes a decision on technology and forces it in. It's very much looking at finding that business partner for me, or where do we need to, again, get our teams in alignment and go off and do things. So from a healthcare perspective, they've been very patient with me when I first joined as far as explaining to me what a capitated payment might be. Even today, as we're looking at getting into new markets, offering new products, the industry's evolved, our company's evolving, and it's great working with a set of executives that are collaborating and partnering with me.
That's great. You mentioned that the innovation group within your own team has sort of a forward-looking emerging technology purview. And in addition to all the forward looking that's necessary to think about innovations in healthcare and changes in healthcare more generally speaking as well, I wonder if you could take a moment to talk a bit about some of the trends that you're seeing that particularly excite you as you think, say, 3-5 years out.
Sure. Our industry, well, in all industries, everybody's looking at and have been for the last few years on where social, mobile, analytics, and cloud are going. And frankly, I think that those are going to continue to evolve over the next few years. If you look at where Moore's Law is and as it projects forward, our mobility devices are going to get stronger. There's a lot that you may hear or read about in healthcare around the DNA or genomics and how they're able to go through now and much more rapidly take a look at individual DNAs. That will be changing. Internet of Things, you know, while it continues to be a concept over the next 3 to 5 years, I think we're going to see a lot more connectivity for us to be able to do monitoring of our members on a more real-time basis. Maybe a few years from now, Molina have a suite of self-driving cars that we can pick members up and drop them off for their doctor's appointments or taking them to get the groceries they may need. So the next 3 to 5 years, I think that for all of us CIOs, looking at what these technologies are doing as they're evolving, it's exciting. There's never been so much change going on. So I look at all of those, analytics, cloud, mobility. Those are things that are going to continue to evolve, and how do we take advantage of that?
Excellent. Well, Rick Hopfer, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your perspectives. It's been a great conversation.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks very much, Peter.
You You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World-Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World-Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.